Namaste, ladies and gentlemen. You're all aware that a lot has been said about the need for clinical data and the level of scrutiny of clinical evidence in the EU under the MDR. There are several guidance documents going from the MedDev to MDCG documents to the very specific requirements listed in the MDR to now a dedicated ISO standard, 18969, I believe, being drafted to help with generating clinical evaluation reports. Now, all that is needed and well indeed, but do you understand how a notified body reviewer actually conducts a review of the CER? How does he or she go about calibrating himself? What are their considerations? Of course, there is the CEAR MDCG document that guides all of that. But do you yourself think about, well, our competitor got away with such and such. Why are we being asked this question? Or so-and-so reviewer didn't ask this question the last time around. Why now? I've been a reviewer and I've been a clinical team lead at BSI. And maybe I can help throw some light on how a notified body reviewer actually goes about the review process. I'll let you in on a secret. It really comes down to the context of the review and how you as a manufacturer chooses to tell a story. There's nothing new there. You've heard that before, but this is real, and there are certain aspects that you really need to appreciate as a manufacturer to be on top of this whole CER game. First of all, in all top notified bodies like BSI or TÜV SÜD, the reviewer handling your device is someone who is experienced in the technology space. And they're very often part of a clinical review team. They're not operating in a silo. They're part of a clinical review team involving a clinician with experience of the corresponding technology, if not the same device type, and other reviewers to cover the codes that your device spans. Now, this is a very important aspect to appreciate. Very often, unfortunately, notified bodies are made out to be the ugly ducklings. They're absolutely vilified for anything that goes wrong in the EU regulatory system. But the truth is, they work very hard. They work very hard, often under a lot of pressure, through a heavily codified QMS-based process. If you as a manufacturer think you're the only ones to put up with a QMS, let me tell you, the notified body's QMS system is a lot more rigorous and under a lot more audit pressure than you ever are as a manufacturer. I truly mean it. And when I say heavily codified QMS process with constant, and I mean constant oversight from their joint assessment teams and corresponding competent authorities. In fact, that whole competent authority notified body relationship is one of the most unfair relationships you will ever come across. I'm not making any of this up. I've been through this myself, so please take my word for it. Be that as it may, one needs to be mindful of the fact that we as manufacturers literally submit thousands of pages for review. The CER may be several hundred pages, and once we add the attachments, it may run into thousands of pages. And sometimes, let's face it, manufacturers don't always write up things in a way that's lucid or very easy to understand. And what's more, sometimes manufacturers deliberately hide things. Now, we all know that. We may have been there, some of us. But from a reviewer's perspective, they have literally less than 2 days to perform the entire review. I'm talking about the clinical section, raise questions, review responses, often for two or three rounds, and draft their final recommendation report. Just 2 days for the entire CER, which is one of the most critical aspects of an MDR review. Let that sink in, folks, because this is going to lend a lot of credence to what I'm about to say, the 2 days aspect, the severe time constraint. Obviously, they're not going to read every single page because of the time constraint. So what does a clinical reviewer actually want to see to enable a positive recommendation for a new, or for that matter, even a continued CE marking? Think of the whole process as going from creating an initial black and white drawing or an image and eventually turning it into a colorful painting. The black and white image being the initial calibration and the colorful painting being the final positive recommendation that the reviewer drafts. Let's think about what happens just before the review commences. Be it a technical reviewer or a clinical reviewer, the process is the same. The reviewer gets apprised by the project manager or whoever else that is that has been involved with your file previously about any open nonconformities, any trends or observations, or something that may have been a remnant from your previous QMS audit, or for that matter, even previous technical file audit, or even the last unannounced audit. This is all part of a calibration exercise, and all of this happens even before your CER is opened. Okay? As part of this calibration, the reviewer also has a discussion with the internal clinician and or whoever the countersigner may be of what are the areas that need to be scrutinized, and this indeed forms the cornerstones or the scope of the upcoming review. Let's not forget that the reviewer is designated for this review due to his or her familiarity, and for that matter, even previous work experience within the same technology space. What that means for you as a manufacturer is that reviewers have a general idea of what the state of the art is, the intended patient population, relevant clinical benefits to be expected, correspondingly, what may be the potential safety and performance objectives and the corresponding endpoints, what quality of evidence may be expected and will be considered acceptable, and the general lay of land when it comes to the benefit-risk discussion. Remember days of, you know, a one-line benefit-risk analysis are long gone now. Now, previous work experience along with the calibration exercise enables the reviewer to generate a black and white image of the story that is to unfold along with a roadmap. When I say roadmap, think of this as the GPS to help navigate that black and white image to arrive at that final colorful image. And when I say colorful image, think of it as the final anticipated benefit risk analysis. Now, before we move on, I want to recap what goes into the reviewer's calibration even before he or she opens your CER, because this is very important to enable you in terms of how you write up that CER story. It's all about telling a cogent story. The calibration involves understanding the intended use and indications for use and also the target patient population. They will scour your website to understand the promotional claims, especially the claims that have a clinical bent to it. They will have a very good understanding of what the residual risks are from a device perspective, from a user perspective, from a patient perspective. They have a handle on the expected clinical benefits to be afforded to the target patient population, the expected duration of the benefit afforded to the patient population. They'll be creating a list of safety and performance objectives that are appropriate and adequate for the intended use of the device, bearing in mind the target patient population and any alternative options that may be available to the patient. They'll form an impression of the overall quantity and quality of clinical evidence required to demonstrate, this is the important bit, required to demonstrate clinical significance of benefit, not just statistical significance. That's an important part to appreciate. And they'll also have an outline of what the benefit risk story will potentially look like in a given patient population. Now, in doing so, the reviewer has just created a benefit risk, has just created a black and white image. And as they navigate and sample, keyword here is that sample, various parts of the submitted documentation via the roadmap that they've created for the review, they are actually adding color to this black and white image. They will never read anything from cover to cover until and unless there's something funny going on with the file. It's always going to be a sampling. It's always going to be jumping from one section to another. Remember the time constraint. And they do this to suit that eventual image that they have in their mind, that image that they're driving to in order to be able to justify your benefit risk analysis. So to think of it, what's an easy way for you to facilitate that image and thereafter to get the reviewer to follow your story pattern. One way to enable this process is to provide a very effective and efficient summary upfront, starting with the motivation for the review, be it for an initial review or for an accompanying change review. That'll do a lot to modulate that black and white image they initially generate and subsequent expectations and considerations that come with it. Okay, so how are questions generated? We've talked about the black and white image. To stay along that same theme, we've also talked about the process of adding color to that image. So how are questions generated? Very simple. At the end of that journey, whatever remains as holes in that now hopefully colorful image is what translates into questions at the end of the review. Okay, but different reviewers generate different questions. Very often different questions on the same file. What's going on? Does the notified body, or more so this reviewer, not know what's happening? Is the reviewer not qualified enough? None of the above. Friends, none of the above. Let's not forget that the audit is a sampling process. That's the short answer to it. But there are more considerations. You really need to appreciate this. Each reviewer is a specialist in a certain technology. But even that may be based on the reviewer's industry experience. That has been likely more manufacturing heavy. Maybe there are others on the same team that are more R&D heavy. Yet another reviewer is more QEDA heavy, right? This previous experience, specifically for which they are hired, lends each one of them a very different background. This in turn differentiates each reviewer's approach and style to auditing. All this put together within the context of the review, from the reviewer's perspective, leads to very different questions being generated by different reviewers, even within the same notified body, at same times or at different times. Here's another factor to consider. Sometimes questions that you receive may reflect the latest nonconformities the notified body may have received from their last joint assessment team audit that is conducted by, you know, multiple competent authorities getting together. And some of these questions are likely part of the notified body's internal CAPAs and or retraining efforts. So I'll leave you with this final thought. What's most important is to enable a reviewer in their review process because they are up against time significantly, right? And what could help is a cogent story in terms of enabling an effective review of your CER towards MDR certification and even continued certification thereafter. I hope this was useful. Let me know if you have any questions. Thank you very much, everybody.